I speak to the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder how long my son's going to remain excited about church once he realizes that eventually he'll have to listen to me. Can't imagine too long. You know, if the images of God that we so tightly cling to, if those images ever instill within us fear or apprehension, you know, of looking more like a lawyer than a lover, then it's time for those images to die. For the desire of God, the desire of the God that was revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, is not a desire for power or control. It's not a desire for penal justice or moral righteousness. It's not a desire even for worship, however right and beautiful and ordered we make it. Simply put, it's the desire for you. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is that old, old story that humanity seems perpetually unable to really believe. And I'm certainly there on some days too. That God loves us, truly, madly, deeply loves us, and would go to any lengths necessary to be lovingly intimate with us. As the writer of 1 John says, God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him, not to prove divine might or divine power or the ability to control the ebb and flow of the universe. God's fullness rushed into the flesh of Jesus Christ that we might have life through him. But more than just having life in some general sense, the mysterious wonder-working of God has done something else, which is far more fascinating. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. If you have not noticed yet, the buzzword for today is abide. It's on the bulletin. It was said, 30 million times in the lections today? And you're going to have to hear some more right now. But it's incredible, this notion of God abiding in us. Because, you know, in our efforts to know God, in our attempts to know God, to no avail do we look from afar at some distant point and believe that God is out there, that there exists some gulf between us and God, that there are places that we can go where God is not, or that there are things that we can do that drive us from the presence of God. And this is all because God has chosen to make God's home within us. Bidden or unbidden, said Erasmus, God is present. And this doesn't just mean within the whole great, grand, wide open spaces of the world that God is kind of here but near. It means within the hollow places of our hearts. God abides within us. Within the tiniest cells of our bodies, all the way to the thoughts and creativity of our minds, God lives here. That is some crazy talk, okay? And yet this is what is proclaimed in our scripture, that you are the dwelling place of God. Kind of sit with that for a minute. If that doesn't make you feel good, then I ought to hang it up right now. You are the place where God is. God is no longer wholly separate from the human race. God abides within us, and we abide within God, a beautiful circle of reciprocity and love. God, the God of all creation, who once may have seemed cold and wholly other, has chosen to rest and dwell within us. And so, frankly, to pray for God to come into our lives and fill us with his presence is to pray for an impossibility. Because the truth of the matter is that God has already infused your very life with his. And there is never a moment when your life and my life will be separate from God. There is never a moment when God will leave us. Try as we might to run and hide, God is there. And because we're humans who get convinced of silly things sometimes, this doesn't guarantee that we will never move through life and feel spiritual distress or anxiety. I have certainly shared enough with you about my own struggles with those things. That's the human condition. But the unbelievably profound and beautiful truth is that even when we may feel distant, even when we may feel so overcome by our brokenness, even when we may feel so unworthy of the goodness and the grace of God, God abides within us. I mean, for reasons that you and I will probably never understand, God has chosen to enter into a relationship of mutuality and interdependence with us. A relationship that looks less like creatures groveling before their creator and more like lovers intertwined in the most rapturous and sensual bonds of affection. If the children were in here, I would ask them to explain to them later what I mean by that. To think about God in that way, as a lover. You know, the anxiety that comes from believing that we are unworthy of the love of God, or the inner struggle that mounts within us as we internalize feelings of religious guilt for not praying enough, or not laboring enough, or not believing rightly, or not giving enough. At the end of the day, such thoughts and feelings are built upon a foundation of illusion. They are not real. There is nothing you can do to become unworthy of the love of God. And there's no way that you can do more to earn such love. It's there. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. So rest easy, my sisters and brothers, fellow lovers of God. Embrace the gift that is already yours, the grace of the God who abides within us even at our darkest. And when looking for where you can meet God, look not only on the altar, as wonderful as it is, look also within a mirror, because you'll find God there too. Amen.